And we are rolling.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Venkman filling in for EMH this weekend. We haven't had any podcasts the last couple weeks. Just been really busy lately and just finally being able to get back together and get a new podcast up and going. EMH is currently celebrating his son's birthday, so we want to give a big shout out to Alex tonight.
Yay,
Alex. Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, man.
How old is Alex now?
Man, you gotta put me on the spot now, don't you, dude?
Booyah.
Make something up, dude. No one's gonna know. Say he's 11.
I think he's like 12. EMH will correct us on this. I think he's 12 or 13?
50.
50.
Maybe he's 14. Dude.
No, he's 11.
Is he 11?
Yeah.
He's blossoming, whatever.
He's not 11, dude.
I don't know.
I'm going 14. But, I don't know. That's just because the number 14 is on my computer screen right now. Because Nicolas Cage is looking all 14th century in this post I just posted in Season of the Witch.
Yeah. So you can introduce us yet, bud?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We're going to get this started, or what?
So we have the panel here tonight. We got the dude.
Hey, what's going on?
Visiting us from a train station.
Yep.
Really?
Yes. Did you hear my train?
Did you hear the train in the background?
No. I hear a train in the background of my place. That's the... Okay.
Okay, so we got Mazer visiting us from a train station. And Mr. Black is also joining us tonight. So it's just the four of us, and we're all here, we're all friendly, and we're all ready to talk about movies. First off, let's hit up the box office numbers for the week. Number one, anybody?
Bond.
Anybody? Yes.
Bond. Bolt.
Obviously, $70,400,000 so far. It is the highest grossing film of its genre for opening weekend, something like that.
Of its genre? So, by that, do you mean the Bond genre, or do you mean, what do you mean by that?
I don't know. Bond genre?
There you go.
That's what they're saying, so.
Yeah, and I think it killed Casino Royale. What was Casino Royale at like something like $40 million or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't even know, but it totally smashed it. So I liked it. That was good to see.
Before this one, the best domestic debut for a Bond film was $47.1 million for Die Another Day in 2002. So that was the best debut for a Bond film before this. So yeah, that totally smashed that to pieces.
Now, what else opened this week?
This week we had a lot of independent films that not many people have heard of.
So Bolt was last week, because we didn't talk about Bolt, obviously.
No, I don't even think Bolt... I think Bolt's being released this weekend.
Oh, is it this weekend?
Yeah, it's this weekend with Twilight.
Sorry, so. I have friends who work for Disney, and they already saw it, so...
Ah, well... Bolt is going to be in 3D, if I'm... not mistaken. But anyway, number two at the box office, Madagascar, Escape to Africa, brought in $36 million. Not bad for number two, second week in a row. If Bond didn't come out, that would have been number one. Number three, Role Models. Awesome movie. Very funny. $11.7 million.
So you're saying it now? I didn't see this film, but I didn't see it because I thought it looked too. I don't know. It just looked corny to me.
No, I like
saying it was good.
I liked Role Models. I enjoyed it. It's a feel good comedy, a dirty, vulgar feel good comedy.
There you go.
But
with
it's
kids
funny
and everything.
With kids and everything, you know, the kids are dropping the F bombs and talking about boobies and stuff. So you know.
Sweet. Yeah,
you know, I've heard a lot about this little the kid that stars in it. I don't know his name, but apparently he's going to be something amazing here coming up.
Well, I guess we'll.
Are we talking about McLovin, or are we talking about the cute black kid?
Yeah, the little kid. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, little black kid?
Yeah, that's what I heard. He was just a little comedic genius at 11 or something.
Yeah, he was very funny in it. I thought he stole every scene he was in. So he probably will have a bright future. I believe he started on the Disney Channel. So he went from some clean-cut comedy to some hardcore R. So good for him. He's making his way in the Hollywood business.
He's doing it the right way.
He's doing it the right way. Number four on the list, High School Musical 3, Senior Year. $5.8 million. Anybody see that?
No.
I take that as a no. Okay. Number five, Changeling. $4.2 million. Actually, surprised this is in the top five. I thought it was a great film, directed by Clint Eastwood. Amazing. I didn't think it was going to be that good when I went and saw it, but I really enjoyed it. So it's in the top five. So that wraps up the top five movies this weekend. As for 6 through 10, Zach and Marie Make a Porno got 6. Soul Men, 7. And that's Bernie Mac's last film. Number 8, The Secret Life of Bees is still wrapped up in the top 10 there. Number 9, Saw 5. And wrapping up the top 10, The Haunting of Molly Hartley. So that wraps up the top 10 box office for this weekend. And Quantum of Solace wins the game. As for box office history, this week in box office history, I'm going to kind of do something a little different. I haven't picked out a date, so I'm going to let you guys choose. Between the years of 1982 and 2007.
I'm going to choose 89.
I'll say 84.
Okay, 84? Now we need a tiebreaker.
Are we choosing one or are we choosing many?
Just one. Just choose one.
Dang it. All right, go ahead with 89.
1989 in box office history.
Wait, can we guess, or is this like something you have like set up already?
Go for it and guess. If you want to guess, I'm all for it. I'm all for taking on the guesses.
89, this week in 89, right?
Yes.
Could it have been the second Ghostbusters movie?
Nope.
Was it?
You weren't even close. I'm sorry, Mr. Black. You're usually close, but it's not.
Damn
it's
it.
Not on the list. There, I am sorry.
Batman.
Ooh.
Batman is not number one.
I have another guess.
Did I make the list? I mean, am I close?
I mean, it's number 15 on the list.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry, 17. My bad.
I have another guess after Major.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Well, number one, Look Who's Talking. $11.4 million. Yes. And that's week five in the theaters. That had already been in the theaters for 5 weeks before it made $11.4 million, and it still was number one. Second was The Bear.
The Bear?
I remember that. That was a nature film.
Yeah, it was a nature film. That took in 4.7. Number three was a movie called Dad. I don't know. Number four was a movie called Shocker.
Oh, I remember that. Wes Craven's movie.
Yeah, rounding up the top five in November 10th through 12th on 1989, Crimes and Misdemeanors from Orion Pictures, which has since gone bankrupt and is no longer with us. So there you go.
Oops.
This week in box office history. EMH does that better. So, this week, we all saw a film by the name of James Bond, Quantum of Solace. Yep. What did everybody think about it?
I thought it was good. I mean, it was a good James Bond film. I really think Daniel Craig is probably the best James Bond since Sean Connery, in my opinion. I mean, we had just a long string of boys, you know, Pierce Brosnan, not a hard ass, not someone that you're going to be scared to kick your ass, you know. Definitely he's got the James Bond look. He looks good in the BMW, but I think with Daniel Craig, you got someone that, that guy's going to, he can scrap probably, you know. That's someone that could kick your ass in a bar fight or whatever. So, I really liked it, just for
elevator.
James Bond.
Or an elevator.
All hand left.
Anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think Daniel Craig is awesome as James Bond. And I love the James Bond movies. I've seen them all, but I'm not a hardcore fanatic, you know. So I think a lot of hardcore fanatics are going to be like, oh no, so-and-so is a better James Bond, or, you know, everyone has their opinions, which is cool, but, you know, I agree with the dude that the Daniel Craig is the, I have to say that he is the ultimate James Bond. Since between Sean Connery and Daniel Craig, I don't think anyone's been able to capture the man.
Wasn't there something just amazing to see how in the Sean Connery version has such this kind of, he gets by on kind of charisma, where this modern day James Bond, modern day spy, is got to, you know, take out five guys in an elevator with his hands tied. You know what I mean? Like,
which is awesome.
It's amazing that how much the franchise has evolved since then.
Well, not only that, but the thing is he does it with charisma. So, you know what I mean? It's like in that opening scene of James Bond in that car chase scene, and you see the look on his face. He's so calm and collect, and just like as he's driving that car through this madness of traffic being chased. And he's got it, you know? He's being hardcore, yet he's got that charisma as he's driving, you know? You just see it in his face. And that's why I think this Daniel Craig is really got it all. He was great in this movie.
Now, something I just want to bring up. I loved it, but it was slightly distracting. Probably a choice on the director's, Mark Forrester, the inner cutting between the action sequences and something that was kind of similar. I think the first thing it was Bond chasing the double agent and the horse race.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one? I'm trying to think.
The car chase was kind of like that too. There was a lot of really tight cuts, and it was cut a lot of cuts. And it was just, you kind of needed some room to breathe in there. Just a little bit, not a lot, but...
Yeah. Well, we know that the second unit director was the guy who did the action sequences from the Bourne movies, which I love, but I feel like there needs to be a little bit more breathing in some of the sequences. You need a moment to kind of catch your breath and not just be chopped a lot of cuts. I mean, it works. It's not like it doesn't work.
Because I was holding my breath the whole time. You know, by the end of the movie, I really lacked oxygen, and I needed a breath. Wow. So when the movie was over and I let out that sigh of relief that, you know, I could breathe again, that was awesome.
Yeah. You may want to get checked for that. You could have brain damage.
Also, isn't it surprising that Bond only slept with one girl in this movie?
In the review I wrote, my opening sentence is James Bond totally scored again, but surprisingly only once in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is true, because usually Bond is the ladies' man. He's always getting the girls, whether it's a bad girl or a good girl. I mean, the guy's suave with the ladies. And he was in this one as well, but he only took advantage of one of them. So,
did anyone else catch, what's her name's name? Strawberry Fields? Mrs. Fields?
Yes.
Cool.
That actually, yes. Okay. Never mind. I was going to say that's who her, it was just Mrs. Fields, but then it all, on the production notes, it was Strawberry Fields, so. So that's why she's referred to there as Strawberry Fields, but she looked like a Strawberry Fields. She looked like a Strawberry Field.
Yeah.
Now, what do you guys think? How did it compare to Casino Royale?
I mean, the movie was a continuation of that story in the first place. So,
right.
To me, if you think about it, Casino Royale and this, it's one movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but I got to say something about edging. I felt like it needed a little bit more story. I know they're not. It wasn't intended to be very story driven, but. When it ended, I felt like it needed about another half hour to explain some stuff or to show some stuff. You know, it's like.
But check this out. See, if you go with like the first movie, you have this story set up in the first one, and this is just the continuation of that story. It's not like they're doing this whole new story; they're just revealing a new part of that story.
No, I get that too, but it still felt like I just kind of maybe it was just me and I wanted to see more, but. I mean, all in all, I love the movie. I thought it was a great movie, but I just kind of felt like it should have had a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, Mr. Black. Actually, in terms of story and kind of, you know, catching my interest, I thought Casino Royale was probably had a stronger script, stronger story. But, yeah,
I agree. I
didn't take away from this one, I don't think. But I've got to say it. Casino Royale, in terms of story and just, I don't know, the... just the poker thing. I love poker, so that got me with it, or whatever card game they were playing. I can't remember. It's been a while. But
it was so intense, too. Remember how intense that was watching him play poker? It was so cool.
Yeah.
It wasn't action-packed, but it was like the tension was there, which was awesome.
Well, you this felt one, the battle of wits.
Yeah, it was a battle of wits. And this one, it was
the chess game.
It was a battle of the chess game and also a brawn, man. It was like... I mean, James Bond... kicked a lot of ass in this movie. He was all over the place. I mean, you had the car chase scenes, you had the boat chase scenes, the airplane chase scenes, the foot chase. You had the small quarter fighting scenes and the big room fighting scenes and the explosions. I mean, it was a much bigger film than Casino Royale was action-wise, I think.
Definitely.
I think the only problem I really had with this one is it reminded me a lot of the Bourne movies. It looked like they were just trying to do James Bond in the style of the Bourne movies, which, I mean, is kind of obvious because they got the guys who did the Bourne movies to do this movie.
Yeah.
But which I don't necessarily have a problem with. I think it's the great... I think that's the best way to go with James Bond in this new generation. But at the same time, I don't know. I just want to see a little bit more story. Just a little bit more.
And you might get that, Mr. Black, in the third movie because you know they're going to make it.
I hope they do. I really hope they do, and I hope Daniel Craig stays with it as long as possible, you know?
Well, Daniel Craig said, he gave an interview in which he said something like, as long as they'll make James Bond movies and they keep asking me to do it, then I'll be there. So,
why wouldn't he, you know? I mean, come on.
Exactly, dude.
Seriously.
Who doesn't want to be James Bond? Who outgrows James Bond?
Well, some of them do. Some of them are like, oh, I don't want to be James Bond anymore. Why?
Yeah.
You know? Be James Bond, man. You get to play one of the most iconic, you know, characters of all time, movie characters of all time, and then, on top of that, you get paid
about this,
lots of money.
Yeah. Something about this new Bond is it's such a physically demanding role. Yeah. I wonder how long he can do it at this level of physicality.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Well, yeah, until his knees go out on him, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we did see in Indiana Jones there was a lot of action, but I mean, you can do a lot with stunt doubles and face replacement, but you don't want to have to.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Daniel Craig get hurt on this movie or something happened like that?
Yeah, I guess his face got jacked up, didn't it? Mazer?
I didn't detect any of it. Did you guys see that cool trailer for like an HD thing?
Oh yeah,
at the beginning of the movie
with Daniel Craig walking through like fire.
He's just
and
standing,
himself.
And there's like explosions and fire. Sorry to go off topic. Well, kind of.
No?
Was that just me, and Mr. Black?
Man,
You guys didn't see that?
I didn't see that.
It was the coolest thing, because he's just standing, and there's explosions, and he's getting hit with debris, and he's getting hit around, and he just... It's like nothing is phasing him. It's the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's like to advertise HD and Blu-ray and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's interesting.
You can kind of tell he's standing in front of a green screen while this is going on, but it's just really cool the way they did it. And he's totally like in his James Bond persona. He's wearing like the tux with the shirt open a bit and his bow tie hanging down, and he's just like, he's all James Bond out. So it's really cool.
He looks
cool.
Ready to fight, is what he looks yeah. like. But he's not doing anything, which makes it even cooler. So,
What did everybody think of the, James? One of the things that James Bond movies are most known for, you know, just one of the traditions they have is the opening sequence with the song, the new Bond song, and just the whole visuals and everything. What did everybody think of the opening sequence, sequence?
I'm honestly not a big fan of the White Stripes or Alicia Keys, to be honest, but I think this is the best Bond song, in my opinion, because I think it's also the biggest departure from all the traditional Bond songs.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Did anyone else notice the musical cue to the theme song in the boat chase sequence?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was okay. Pretty cool.
They usually don't do that, ever.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Sometimes
they do similar things. But.
I like how they just get creative with it all. And they just kind of just go with
it. Does anyone feel like it was almost like, it felt like an iPod commercial at the beginning of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it started to like evolve?
Well, that's what the James Bond sequences have always been. They've basically been iPod commercials. I'm sure that's where Apple got the idea from.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Which is always interesting because they always try to bring like, you know, the sexiness of women into PG-13 movies. So it's always silhouette.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But you totally know. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
You can pretty much see things.
You can see it, please.
Get that train out of here.
I really liked the. I liked it. James Bond was an awesome movie. Did any scenes? Any favorite scenes for anybody in the movie?
I have a one. This is spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it.
Yeah, these favorite scenes are going to be spoiler alert, so you might want to just kind of click ahead if you don't want to listen.
Spoiler
alert. But I'm
sure
anyone that's seen this will probably... Anybody that's been to our website has probably seen the movie, most likely.
Hopefully.
Anyway, go ahead.
The one I had was kind of a... the scene, it reminded me of kind of like an homage to one of the previous Bond movies. And if anybody can catch me on what I'm about to say... Was the what happens with Miss Fields?
Oh yeah, the oil and Goldfinger. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool little homage to the Goldfinger thing, where I forget the character's name, but she ends up covered in gold or dipped in gold or something.
Uh huh.
It's been years since I've seen it, but so I think that was.
It was a sad scene, but visually it looked poetic
really
in a
cool.
way.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool. That to me, that really brought in the fact that this is a James Bond film when they did that. Because
yeah.
It reminded me of Goldfinger.
Yeah. Definitely on purpose. Yeah. You know, I don't know if it was my favorite, but a scene that I really liked, don't know if you guys are going to agree with me, but you know when Bond is at that kind of like a new age, that opera that they were looking at in the big amphitheater.
That's my favorite scene too.
When they integrated that opera into the whole the action scene and did that did that montage, I thought that was awesome. For me, that was probably the highlight of the film.
Yeah, that was really cool. I also liked the wittiness of the scene where Bond is at that, and as he's looking over the crowd and everything, and as everyone's like making their plans, and they're what's going down, and then Bond just kind of chimes in there and is like, "Yeah, you might want to think of a better place to conduct your meetings."
Something less public.
Yeah, that was awesome. I just thought it was funny. And everyone starts getting up, and then you just start snapping the pictures.
Yeah.
And you got that awesome Bond technology going.
There were some cool little gadget kind of things that you had where they weren't like the ridiculous gadgets that they've had in the past, like a magnetic watch or a grenade pin or anything like that. But it was kind of more realistic gadgets that I thought was pretty cool, like his little GPS / cell phone communicator thing.
Yeah, and a business card as a tracker.
Yeah.
Like, how... It's simple, right? It's...
It's simple. It's realistic in a way. I mean, it's something that you could definitely believe in the real world, but not yet so cartoony and comic booky as,
we should,
you know,
integrate
an exploding
that.
Pen.
We should integrate those tracker devices into our business cards.
We should.
That would be awesome.
We have business cards?
Yeah. Yes.
All right, yeah, let's do that.
We will someday.
When we get them. There you go.
Yes.
Bond girls.
Oh, I'm sorry. I loved Olga Kurt, whatever her last name is.
That's, yeah.
See, that to me, I've had a thing for her since Hitman, and that movie sucked, but she was just gorgeous in that. So.
Now, do you think they left it open for her to come back in a sequel?
I think they did, but I don't think they will, because Bond girls never come back for a sequel.
No,
so
you need to spice
it
up.
If they did, they would it would definitely break the cycle on that little tradition.
Well, they've brought back different actresses as Moneypenny several times.
Yeah.
But that's different, though. She's not technically a Bond girl. She's Moneypenny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but James Bond didn't sleep with her yet, so...
Exactly.
Well,
so she's
as soon
not a
as
Bond
he,
girl.
As soon as she does, then she's a Bond girl and she's out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else anybody want to add on the topic of James Bond?
Yeah, I just want to echo what Mr. Black said about the ending. I felt like they could have just gave a hint that they're coming after the Quantum now. And that would have been just enough. Even if it was like a 10-second scene, you know what I mean? Just something where it was like next step is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. That would make sense. Surprised they didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe they just don't have anything planned really yet, and they just don't want to, like, do something and then decide to scrap it later.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, I think all of us would recommend anybody that hasn't seen it yet to go watch it, because
it's
it was awesome.
Flick.
Now, before the movie began, there was a trailer that played. It was incredibly amazing, and it blew me away. Fast and the Furious 4.
Good trailer.
Honestly, I can't... Okay, I'm just joking. Star Trek.
You know what's funny is when they were showing the Star Trek... When they were showing the Star Trek trailer, I honestly thought it was Fast and the Furious 4 for the first, like, 10 seconds of it.
Did you
really?
I did too.
Yeah.
And I was, like, I was impressed by the shots. I was like, that's well cut. It's beautifully photographed. I was like, whatever this is, I'm in. And then you see someone leap out, and you realize it's a kid, and you're like, what? Kid
movie?
You're
like, what the hell?
Okay, I'm going along with this. Whatever it is. You see the robot cop, you're like, weird. Let's keep going. I'm in. And then when he jumps out, and then it's, you know, James Tiberius Kirk.
Oh. James Tiberius Kirk. Awesome!
And the crowd goes wild.
The crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
Which they really did, actually. They really
yeah,
did go.
They did. It was quite a surreal moment. I thought it was awesome, man. Just, and I'm impressed with all the pictures that I've seen for the film, but to see the preview and see all, you know, everything in action and taking place was just amazing. It looked great. I don't know. I'm not a hardcore Star Trek fan. I mean, I've watched Star Trek. I've watched the TV shows. I've watched the movies, but I don't consider myself like I'm going to kill someone if they make a wrong movie. But this looks like it. This movie just looks like it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams knows what he's doing with this.
Now, the actual trailer will pop up online tomorrow. In the meantime, there's this bootleg trailer floating around. It's just, you know, it's a bootleg trailer. What do you expect? It is what it is.
Someone with their cell phone in a theater.
Someone with their cell phone in a theater.
You can see like a guy sit down.
You're squinting your eyes and you're like, yeah, this is awesome, man.
Which actually, when I saw the bootleg trailer before I saw it in the theater, and I was like, what the crap? Because we were talking about that first opening scene where he drives a car off the cliff. That confused the crap out of me when I was watching the bootleg trailer. Just because you couldn't see what it was anyways. And I was like, what the? Yeah.
And Zachary Quinto looks amazing. As
yeah,
Spock.
He looks just like
dude,
him.
Dude,
like
is that? Is it? He is Spock, dude. And then obviously Spock's there, you know? You got Leonard Nimoy in the previous.
That was awesome, too. Yeah.
So that was very cool. You know, you got to see the whole cast. And I don't know if you noticed, but the way the camera moved in some of these scenes, just I was kind of it just looks like it's going to be amazing. Like the camera movements and the starship and everything, how, you know, certain things are tilted and it's kind of got this new type of feel to it. I don't know.
I just love how big it feels.
Yeah.
I love how the future looks like the future. It's just exciting.
It is. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the trailer popping up online tomorrow. I'll get it up on the site and give you the link to the HD versions. And just watch that sucker over and over again because it's awesome.
We're going to do a trailer breakdown for sure.
Yes.
Oh, heck yeah.
Frame by frame. Well,
frame by frame. Yeah. Look for it. Look for it. Yeah, so I'm excited for Star Trek now. I'm 100% on board, and I don't think anything's going to stop me from not wanting to see this movie.
What if you found out it was actually directed by Sylvester Stallone?
Then I'd be even more excited to see it.
I would become a fan of Sylvester Stallone.
Become a fan of I would join the Sylvester
that's impressive
Stallone
right
fan.
There.
Awesome. Yeah, so Star Trek trailer. Look for it. It's coming online. Watch it over and over and over again. Okay, now on to some other news. Who has seen Let the Right One In? The Swedish film. You've seen it?
I have not.
Yeah, I've seen it as well.
I've seen it.
No, I think it's a limited release. Isn't it just in Los Angeles and New York?
Probably, unfortunately.
I believe it is.
But it's going to get a wide release, but you're not going to get to see the same movie. It's a Swedish horror film that's getting remade and Americanized for an American audience.
So give us the rundown. What's this? I don't even know what it's about. I've heard about it, but I don't know any you know of the details of the plot or anything. So what's this film about?
It's a great Black?
Movie. You want me to take this one? I got this
Yeah,
one.
Go for it.
Basically, it's about this 12-year-old kid in Sweden who is kind of your quintessential little kid who gets bullied, who's, you know, kind of neglected by his parents a little, and he's kind of just a lonely kid who's he's just, you know, kind of your outcast kid. This girl, another 12-year-old girl, moves in next door to him and turns out that she is, in fact, a vampire.
Wow.
And it's just a really great movie.
Scary.
About, well, it does become a little creepy at times because they actually, in my opinion, and I'm a huge vampire aficionado, I guess you could say, I think this movie is one of the more accurate approaches to way I think a vampire would be like in real life. Because when she attacks people, it's just direct and kind of creepy and kind of surreal to see this 12-year-old girl just, you know, gnawing on this guy's neck, this grown man's neck. And it's just got a genuinely really cool feel to the movie. And I think they're just going to, I think they're going to bastardize the American version. I really do.
You know, I agree. I mean, this is one of my favorite films of the year. This is definitely one that I just really enjoyed. And it's one that I don't think that needs to be remade. The guy that's remaking it, who's going to direct the remake, is Matt Reeves. And Matt Reeves directed a little film called Cloverfield, which, for the record, I just didn't like. I to me, Cloverfield was a student film with a decent budget. And I think any other, you know, film student could have made something a little bit better.
I think the problem with Cloverfield is dialogue, personally.
Yeah, dialogue. But so Matt Reeves recently gave an interview, which he talks about, you know, about his plans for remaking Let the Right One In and Americanizing it. Just a couple things that he says. He says, this is totally just crazy, because as I'm reading the way he's like describing how he wants to do this, there is nothing different from the movie that's already out there, other than the fact that he's going to make it in English. So he's keeping the movie in the early 80s. He's going to keep it in a, you know, snowy location.
Colorado, I think is what he said.
He says Colorado will most likely be, instead of Sweden, it'll be Colorado, you know. You know, it's just some of the things he says, like this. Here's one of his quotes. "The movie and the book are incredibly Swedish, yet there's something so universal about the tale of this kid, and something that in the context of an American story could be completely different while being very consistent with the original story. There's something about it that can be an American mythic tale." Okay. What?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's incredibly Swedish, but there's also something like there's an American story in there that's different from the Swedish story.
It's what? In Colorado.
Yeah.
We're going to put it in Colorado instead of Sweden. So it's like,
Mystery Salt.
there's no reason at all to make this to Americanize this movie. Just freaking release the Swedish version in a wider release. That's all they need to do.
Exactly, exactly.
All they need to do. And I guarantee this will be a classic horror movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you guys are underestimating how lazy people are with subtitles.
No, I agree. Yes.
They released Life is Beautiful with a dub in theaters.
I agree with you 100%, and I think you American audiences, we need to, us English-speaking audiences, especially the ones in America, need to kind of go out and read a little, you know, read some subtitles. There's some fantastic movies out there that are not in English that you guys are all missing out on.
I agree.
You gotta take into account also, I mean, I brought it up earlier, it's not even, I'm here in Salt Lake City, Utah. You can't see the Swedish version here in Salt Lake City, Utah. Probably for that reason that it's not going to make money. People aren't going to see it here unless they make it into an English version and do it in a wide release. So, I mean, for that fact, I'm glad that they're going to go ahead and do it. Do I wish that they'd release the Swedish version as a wide release? Yeah, absolutely. But, hey, maybe they just know that they're not going to make any money that way. So, for me, it's an upside they're making this, because I'm going to be able to see it without having to go to L.A., get it from Netflix or something when it comes out.
Before it comes out in the movie, though, it's going to come out on DVD. So you're going to get to see the Swedish version before it's remade anyway.
But not in the theater.
Not in the theater.
But I just got to read a couple more quotes from this guy, because the guy's a genius.
Tidbits of wisdom. Here we go.
He says, "It's a terrific movie and a fantastic book. I think it could be a really touching, haunting, and terrifying film. I'm really excited about what it could be."
It already is that.
He just said it's a terrific movie, and now he's saying, yeah, I think it could be a touching, haunting, and terrifying. He uses film, but let's put that movie. Okay, it's a terrific movie, and I think it could be a really touching, haunting, and terrifying movie. Like, what? Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, the guy's trying to pitch the movie that he's making. I mean, he's got to
explain something.
He can't just say it's a great movie, we're going to remake it, and you know, so that we can make a little more money on top of it.
He might as well say it, dude.
But there's been a few good remakes of movies. I think The Ring is way better than the Japanese version.
Definitely. I don't think. I mean, I would have never seen it if they'd never remade it in English.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people are like that. I'd never even heard about it before it came out.
You have a point. You have a point.
Well, it was actually done so well that it spawned the whole Japanese movie remake.
But here's the thing, though, too. Let the Swedish have their movie, for crying
yes,
out loud. They don't make many movies. Let the Swedish have their day.
And this goes back to the laziness of American filmmakers now, because all these American filmmakers, I mean, they're all remakes of foreign movies or past movies, or they're based on a book or a comic book or a TV show. It's like nobody's making any original movies anymore. And granted, Let the Right One In is based off of a book, but still, let them have their day, and you American filmmakers, make something new for what you make.
See, you say let them have their day. To me, through my eyes, I'm sure they're happy about this. I mean, this is probably a huge win for them.
The director's pissed.
Well, look.
The director's pissed.
Okay, but I mean, look at it as a whole. They've got this awesome movie that we think is awesome. We remake it. That could open a lot of doors for Swedish movies. Maybe we're going to pay more attention to Swedish movies in the future. I'm sure the director of this film is angry that, I mean, they're going to redo his vision to something he might not want it to be. But I think for Swedish film to have a big hit that's being remade into an American version is going to open up a lot of doors with them, just as it did for Japanese horror movies.
That's a good point.
I think it's a win for Swedish film to have something like that. I don't think it's a loss, because it's gonna give it to a broader audience, because a lot of people aren't gonna see it if it's in Swedish, as we've seen already.
You're absolutely right. And I agree with you. Okay, I do, but I don't agree with Matt Reeves directing it.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I agree with you there.
Another quote. Because I just have to. Because this quote has some certain, he repeats. You ready? It's an amazing mixture of a coming-of-age story and a really scary horror film. It's touching and scary. It's an incredibly touching love story and really scary vampire movie. So I think he says, scary three times in there. He says it's a scary movie three times, and then touching twice. In one sentence. Yeah.
Well, we've established that. Okay.
I know. I just had to, okay? That's what we do. We rant about movies.
You have to publish it.
And I'm totally ranting. And I did publish it. Dang it. It's on there. You can go read his ridiculous quotes right now.
Boo.
So anyway, yeah, kind of disappointed that it's going to happen. So anyone that doesn't like reading in movies is going to get to go see a Swedish horror film that has been Americanized. So there you go. You can always read the book, too. You know, the book's out there.
Yeah, right. We can't even read the subtitles. Why are we going to read the book?
That's true. If they can't read subtitles, why are they going to go out and read the book? Good point. You made an excellent point there, dude.
What about the audiobook?
A little better.
There you go.
I understand Swedish.
Only if you're going on a road trip. How about that?
Or if you work in an effects studio. You listen to a lot of audiobooks there.
Yes.
I love audiobooks, man. Off the subject, but I am such a fan of audiobooks.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still an old-fashioned reader. I haven't grabbed onto the audiobooks yet. I read books, you know, chapter or two a day. It's slow. Unless I really get into it, then I'll read it fast, but pretty much I'm only finding like an hour or so to read. So audiobooks may be something that I have to.
I've got a little tangent we can get off onto. Does anyone have just a book you want to recommend to our listeners real quick?
Huh.
Because I do. I just read an awesome, awesome movie. It's actually set to come out as a feature film here in 2009. It's The Road by Cormac McCarthy. Viggo Mortensen starring in it. Directed, can't remember the director's name, but he directed The Proposition. with Guy Pearce a few years back. Awesome.
Yeah, that was a great film.
It's going to be a great film. It's an awesome book. It's just one of those despair, bleak, sad. You just want to. I mean, it's depressing as hell. But it's just a great, great book. It's about, it's a post-apocalyptic story about a man and a boy, just a survival story. Great. Pick it up. Not a hard read. Only a couple hundred pages. You can finish it in a couple days or a week, but highly suggest it.
Well, I got a couple books then. I got a couple books I could recommend. Well, okay, one of them is a comic book. I'm totally on board with this movie being made called Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
And it's based on a comic book called Kick-Ass, and I love it. This is one of the funnest comic books I think I've ever read. I'm just having a blast going through them and reading them. The stories are fun. The characters are the characters are geeks, man. They're just, you know, the main character's a geek that just wants to be a superhero, you know, that he's wondering why more people don't go out and try and help people. So he kind of takes it among himself to go out and you know, fight crime. So he makes his own costume. You know, he's still in high school, and this kid just, you know, learns it's not easy to be a superhero.
And coincidentally, isn't he being played by Nicolas Cage?
No. Nicolas Cage plays the father of a little girl who is like a ninja assassin.
Oh, so he's not Kick-Ass.
No, he's not Kick-Ass.
Oh, I thought he was Kick-Ass. Damn it!
Everybody knows Nicolas Cage is not a Kick-Ass.
Yes, I agree with you there. But I thought he was playing Kick-Ass.
No, he's not. He's not. I actually last week posted a couple new official Kick-Ass photos, so you get to see Kick-Ass in full costume. So it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm really excited for this movie. Comic book is awesome, though. I mean, you just get on board. It's one of the most violent and bloody comic books I've ever seen, but damn, it's awesome. And I'm really enjoying it. Other book I would recommend is a book based on a film that Martin Scorsese is, I think he's probably wrapped filming it, probably in post-production now, Shutter Island, is a great book, and I think the movie is going to be nominated for many Academy Awards. Leonardo DiCaprio and, what's his name, Mark Ruffalo star in the film. And it takes place, you know, 1950s, and it's two sheriffs go to a mental institute on an island, and they're investigating a missing persons case, one of their patients. It's an awesome story, and definitely I recommend Shutter Island to anybody that likes books and reading.
Yes.
Any other books?
Twilight. I love the Twilight series. I've read them all four times. Just kidding. I haven't. I'm a liar.
You're an evil man for lying to our female audience.
I will see the film, though. I'm going to see the movie here coming up this week.
Yeah. You can. Hey. Good. You can write the review.
See
on
that?
It. Like how that goes. I'm like, thank you, dude.
I just don't feel myself. No, actually, I mean, this is something that's coming out. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a good film, but you can't deny the fact that it's going to be just huge.
No, yeah. It is. I mean, it's going to blow up at the box office. It's going to be ridiculous. You're going to see news stories on the lines that are forming for it. My wife's going to be there at midnight, you know, with a bunch of her friends, and everybody's just going to go.
Everyone's going to be there.
Everyone's going to be there, man. It's going to be crazy.
What are your projections? What do you think it's going to make opening weekend?
I think it's going to beat out Casino Royale.
I think it'll break $100 million easy.
Yeah, Casino Royale.
You look at the emotional attachment.
Yeah.
If you look at the emotional attachment that some of these women, people, whatever, have to this story. It's just amazing. I think this film could just totally suck.
Here's a question.
It's going to care, and they're going to see it five times.
Here's a question. Okay, you say that, and here's the question I'm going to pose. I'm going to propose to you. Titanic.
Yeah.
Look, the girls are what made Titanic the box office madness that it was. The guys weren't going back to see that movie over and over and over again. It was the girls. Twilight is a total hardcore chick flick with a just this gigantic following all over the world. Is it possible? And I'm not saying it's possible to beat Titanic, but could it beat The Dark Knight with the girls going back to the theaters to watch it over and over and over again?
I'll say this. I'm not going to say whether it's going to or not, but it will definitely be in a race for it. The girls will definitely try to make it beat Dark Knight, I'm sure.
And, you know, I don't think they'll do it trying to beat out The Dark Knight. They're just going to keep going back and seeing this film is the thing.
Right, right. No, I agree. But I think a part of that, maybe, you know, on some level, they're going to try to, you know, even subconsciously, they're going to try to beat that out. Because Dark Knight was really kind of more of a guy film in a way.
Yeah. Exactly. It was a guy film. But people weren't, I mean, there were some of us that went back to see it more than once. But, yes. I mean, it was a long movie. It was over, you know, 2.5 hours long. This movie is going to be under 2 hours, so it's going to be less of people's time. And people are going to have more time to dedicate themselves to keep going back to watch this movie. Because you're going to have these girls that friends can't make it to the midnight show, you know. So you're going to go again to see it with their friends. And then their friends are going to go see it. And all of a sudden, it's like they're going to have, like, you know, by week 6, they're going to have, like, groups of 15 people still going to see the movie. It's going to be ridiculous.
And, you know, I think they're going to, for this movie not to just be incredibly huge, it's going to have to just be a huge miss and just piss everyone off.
Which, you know what, may actually happen, you know. I don't know if any of you have seen it. I haven't seen it yet, but who knows how much of a departure they did when they were trying to translate this into a film.
Yeah.
It may piss a lot of people off.
It's true. Yeah, they may piss people off.
It's hard to say at this point, but...
It is. Only time will tell, and we will know the truth next week. The truth will be revealed.
Truth is out there.
So, yeah, Twilight's coming out next week. If you're going, have fun.
Thank you. I will.
Feel free to, you know, send us emails and stuff. Let us know what you thought about it.
Yes, we're going to do a special female edition of Geek Time where we actually have some female Geek Tyrants actually jump in and talk about Twilight. So.
Yes.
Should be interesting.
It will be interesting. It'll be great. Good fun. There's another movie that came out, limited release, that I just kind of wanted to touch on. Mr. Black and I actually went and saw this movie last week. Repo: The Genetic Opera. It's a limited release film, so it's not playing in many places right now. Who knows if it will... if the audience will grow, if it will come out in more theaters. You're not going to see a remake of this movie anytime soon.
Well,
you probably never see a remake. But because it's already American.
Correct you on a little bit,
Shoot, what did I do?
The one we saw was technically a remake. Let me explain. Let me finish.
You did research, didn't you? Okay, go ahead.
I did research. But let me explain and clarify. The original Repo: The Genetic Opera was a short film. It was written by the same guy who wrote this one, who plays the grave robber. I don't know if you remember the character of the grave robber.
Yeah.
He was one of the writers of the film, and he also wrote the original short movie. That I guess this was somewhat of a would probably be a better term. But yeah, they won't remake this film I guess.
Well,
again.
I mean, a short film's different. Yeah. A short dub actually be made into a full film. I don't consider that a remake.
Yeah.
Especially if the same guy is doing it. I enjoyed the movie a lot. I loved it. I loved the music. I loved the style. The story, the characters. I just thought it was a really good film that people I don't think are going to get to see. But when it comes out on DVD, I'm sure more people are going to be able to get out there. But I think it's slowly going to build a cult following.
Well, it certainly hasn't been doing well in the box office. I mean, I'm looking here online. It looks like, what is it? It's 46th.
Very
number four this week,
so
it did $17,000, showing the gross is $89,000. Six, you know, just horrible. That's a huge tank. So, I mean, I definitely agree when you say it's not going to get remade. I mean,
okay, so yeah, Repo: The Genetic Opera, great movie. If you get a chance to see it, and you like that kind of thing, go see it. I don't think a lot of people. I think you got to have like a certain type of.
You got to be a weirdo, okay? You got to be a freak.
You got to be You got to be open-minded to see a movie like this. If you're not open-minded, you're not gonna like it because it's not a movie for everybody. It really isn't. But it's a lot of fun if you allow yourself to be open to the idea of the story and the singing and the music. There's no dialogue in the film whatsoever. The whole film is singing. So,
hence an opera. It's an opera.
Yeah, hence an opera. Yes. So well, if you allow yourself to be open to that, then you're gonna have a fun time. You will have fun.
And despite the fact that it's a singing movie, it's visually a beautiful film. I mean, the effects are really good for a low budget. You know, film. You can obviously tell most of this film was shot on green screen, but it's just the visuals are amazing. It's like if any of you effects artists or just artists in general out there, you'll see a lot of really cool stuff in this. Or if you just like seeing eye candy, I mean, it's just really good.
I also recently got the album for the film, got the music, and I've listened through it a few times, and it's really good. I mean, the more I listen to the music, the more I like it. So definitely give it a shot. You know, if you like going to the movies, then give this one a shot. You may actually enjoy yourself. So it's going to be Mr. Black and I were talking, and we both agree that we think it possibly could be the Rocky Horror Picture Show of the 21st century. So
of the whole century?
Of the 21st century.
Wow.
And if not the 21st century, then at least for the current generation.
Yeah, exactly. So
century, that's a bold statement there, Venkman.
Thank you. I'm known for making bold statements.
Yes.
All right, well, let's see what we got coming up next week. What's coming out in the movie theaters next week? What can people catch?
You mentioned Bolt, right?
Bolt. We got Bolt coming out. We've got Twilight. Yay. We've got Australia, which will be opening up. A little movie called Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn, Reese Witherspoon, Robert Duvall, Jon Favreau. Looks like it could be a good Christmas film. I'll probably go see it just because I like Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau. So it looks good. Transporter 3, I'll be there.
That actually looks like it might be interesting. I haven't been let down by the Transporter films, so.
Oh, shoot. I went too far.
What?
I apologize. Australia, Four Christmases, and Transformers 3. Transporter 3. Come out the weekend after Twilight and Bolt.
Ah.
My apologies, so my apologies.
So I'm guessing I'm watching Bolt in 3D, right?
So I'm guessing that you'll be watching Bolt in 3D, and that you'll also eventually go see Twilight.
Silence. Oh.
The girl drags me into theater.
See? Yep. Don't worry. I'm going to go see it too.
See, and this goes back to our conversation before. I mean, you act like we're not going to see it. You know we're going. We've got girlfriends. We've got wives. They're getting our money too.
See, and this is the thing too. My wife's going to go to a midnight show, right? And guess what? She's gonna go see it again with me. So she's giving, you know, more money to the film, which is why it could possibly have that opportunity to beat Dark Knight or Titanic. Is because they're gonna keep going back, bringing more people. That's what's gonna happen.
It's gonna be huge.
It's guaranteed. I guarantee every girl that sees this movie is going to see it a second time. That is a guarantee.
A Mr. Venkman guarantee, or Dr.
That's
Venkman
a Mr. Venkman guarantee. That's Mr. That's got a. That's a.
Doctor. He's dropped the doctorate. That's a, he's gone that's personal. A, it's
I've
Mr.
personal.
Mr.
You call
today.
Me Mr. Venkman from now on.
What about all those years you spent in medical school?
It's got the Dr. Venkman seal of approval. Every Twilight fan is going to go see that movie twice.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
So.
At least.
Even if it's just to try and like it, if they didn't.
Exactly. So yeah, okay. Twilight and Bolt next week are the big movie openers. So there you go, you got that. And why don't we do a best and worst things we saw this week? How about that? Huh?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do that.
Let's start with the worst.
All right. Start with the worst. What's the worst thing you saw this week, Mazer?
I went through on Hulu because I ran out of stuff to watch, and I watched.
I hate when I run out of stuff to watch.
Yeah, I watched My Own Worst Enemy, and I watched all the episodes, and I'm glad that show is being canceled. Enough said on that.
Enough said.
Not worth your time then, huh?
No, unless you have extra time, you know?
Unless you're doing absolutely nothing at all.
Yeah, or just need something in the background, you know?
No, I actually didn't. I don't think I saw anything bad this week. I didn't see much, but I will give you my best. Kind of embarrassing. I think I've mentioned before on the podcast that I'm a huge Food Network, you know, anything to do with... I love food shows. And I was very excited this week to see that one of my favorite series on TV is Top Chef. It's back on the air with season 4. So Top Chef episode 1 on Bravo was definitely my best. I'm just so excited that I have this whole year to see who the next Top Chef is going to be. And there you go. I put that one out there.
Nice.
I got something for the best of the week for me, okay. Anyways. As Major knows, I'm a diehard obsessive about the Terminator franchise in general.
Yes.
And I absolutely abhor and hate the third movie, but I love, and I'm so glad they did this, the TV series, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Okay.
And I think the Sarah Connor Chronicles, they did it right, which is, I couldn't be happier that they did this. And this last week's episode, I think was the best episode of the series so far, and it was just fantastic. And I can't explain how great this episode was. For all you Tarantino fans out there, and I'm not a big Tarantino fan, but they did kind of the whole they shot it. They did this episode kind of in the point of view of each of the characters, and then brought it together at the end.
I think it's more in the format of a show. I don't know if you guys remember Boomtown. They go through each perspective of each character, and sometimes they rewind, and they reveal the entirety of the plot from each perspective. It's pretty interesting writing format.
So if any of you are Terminator fans out there like I am, dude, this last episode was just the best out of the series so far, and I just couldn't be happier with the way they're going with this show. I'm so glad that they did this, and I'm so glad that they completely and utterly ignored the third movie in this.
Cool. I'm going to go with the best and worst trailers I've seen.
Okay.
besides Star Trek, because we all agree that Star Trek was just a totally awesome, badass movie trailer, and we all can't wait for Star Trek now. I like the third Watchmen trailer that was released. Actually, kind of gives more of the story of what's going on for Watchmen. You get to see, you know, a few more visuals. But it just pumped me up even more to see Watchmen. So that's one of the best trailers I've seen this week that's popped up online, which is great. And worst trailer I've seen this week is a little movie that the Wayans brothers had done. I didn't even post this online because I was just appalled and offended by how stupid Hollywood is for throwing money at Wayans brothers films like Dance Flick.
Is that what this one's called?
That's what it's called. It is called Dance Flick.
Don't tell me this is in the vein of like Disaster Movie and all that crap.
No, I think it's.
Of course it is. It is. Yeah, it's money to make us.
Is it based off of all the dance? It's like a parody of all the dance movies that's been made throughout time or something?
It's a spoof movie about competitive dance films. Like, Step Up to the Streets.
Dirty Dancing, you know, and all that kind of crap.
You'd think after this last one. After Disaster Movie, they just give it up. Because Disaster Movie was just it flopped, you know? I think even in some places it was called the worst movie ever made.
Dude, I am shocked that they are actually still throwing money at these kind of terrible, terrible movies. I mean, there's a baby just being born, right, or whatever, and the baby was still all wet and gross is like dancing. The pregnant girl is dancing, and the baby pops out while she's dancing.
and he starts dancing, right.
That's just sick, dude. It's just stupid.
Wow.
So, I don't know why. I won't even post this, because it's not worth it. So, it's the worst thing I saw this week. So.
Well, now you have to post it so we can see how bad it is.
I'm scared.
You're scared.
I don't want to drive people away from the site.
Wow.
So, that's the worst thing I've seen. So, but other than that, I mean, shoot, I think we did an okay job without EMH today. We got through a lot. Talked about James Bond.
I think we just survived, dude.
We survived. We need
EMH. I think the IQ of the podcast went down about 30.
About 100 points.
Sorry. We here at Geek Time and apologize, but we do our best. We do our best. And we have fun at what we do. So, you know, I can't apologize. I had a good time. I'm not apologizing for having a good time. If you don't like it, then sorry. EMH will be back, and he will bring the show back up to the level of awesomeness that he recently brought it up to. So, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. For listening to a little over an hour of our nonsense. But, thank you, though. And anybody, anything else to say?
No, that's it. That's the show.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, mate. Night. Mate, have a great one.